All right. So the recording has started. Thanks for bearing with us, everybody. And timer, Melissa, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, Sam, go ahead.
You can hear me?
I can, yeah.
Great. This is Sam. I'm a compulsive debtor and business owner. I'm glad to be here, and I know it takes quite a bit of work to put on these events, and I really appreciate it that you guys did that work. Let's see, I got to DA on September 26, 1995, and that is also my solvency date. I got there, and they told me what to do, and I just kind of surrendered to doing what I was told to do, and as a result of that, I've never debted again. And as a result of that, I have the life I always wanted. Once I got in the groove in DA, I learned to surrender to service. And the more I've come to understand the steps and traditions and concepts, the more I surrender to service. And the more I surrender to service, the better my life gets. And I'm really glad about that. So I'm going to talk about some variations of sponsorship and group sponsorship. And these are things I had experience with in the last 23 years. And so originally, I was waiting around for other people to do service, and it kept not coming. And I can kind of give you an example. When we showed up, there wasn't very much literature. And I just kept thinking the literature would come. And I finally began to understand it would come if I wrote it or if I participated in writing it. And at that point, I stopped waiting for other people and got really involved in world service. And became a part of creating the fairly new program of Debtors Anonymous. Let's see. When I got to DI, I was in rural California, and there were no meetings. And I could go 50 miles to Sacramento to go to a meeting. And my very first meeting, that's what I did. And but I really couldn't afford to go to Sacramento all the time. So my wife and I and an old AA guy started a DA meeting. We actually didn't know what we were doing. We had literature, but we found out much later that it wasn't conference approved literature. But we did what we could, and we hung in there. And 23 years later, we're all still solvent. I was kind of pleased about that. But because of that, because of getting to DA in a rural environment, it's always, my heart has always gone out to rural members. And I knew that huge areas in the United States and Canada were empty. And I actually mean empty. If you fly much, what you mostly see when you're looking down is nothing. And but there, you know, there's scattered people in there, and here and there, there's a DA member who doesn't have a group, doesn't have a sponsor. Now, in the years that have passed, phone meetings have come into being, and that didn't exist back then. And there are plenty of phone meetings now. But back at that time, I knew that there weren't enough sponsors for everybody in DA to have one. And so I really got it that that one-to-one sponsor-sponsee ratio wasn't going to move rural people forward fast enough in DA. And I came upon a group that had been meeting for 4 years, and none of them had ever done the steps. They were just winging it. This would have been 1998 or 1999, and I offered to take them through the steps as a group, and they accepted. And we did the steps in 12 or 13 or 14 weeks, and that group still exists. It's been 20 years now, and I'm not taking credit for it, but the steps can take credit for it. You know, that's what keeps us going, what we get from the steps. Let's see. So about that time, a man named Howard ran the General Service Office, and I asked him to refer any rural people who called in to me and just give them my phone number. And so I started getting calls from rural people around the country, and I couldn't sponsor them one at a time. So I told them I could put them in a group of a kind of one long-timer to five newcomers. And I was basing it on, I had been in the 12-step community for about 10 years when I got to DA. And when I first started, I'd go to meetings, and the old-timers would grab the newcomers and say, hey, come on, we're going to go have some pie and coffee, and they'd take us to a restaurant, and we would just get to sit and listen to them talk, or we'd get to ask them questions, and it was called the meeting after the meeting. And what most of what I got in recovery occurred in those meetings. And so I created some phone calls that were really based on the meeting after the meeting, and invited people into it, and what they were was facilitated conversations about recovery. And I would ask these groups, what do you want to do at this time? And invariably they would say they wanted to do the steps. So I would take the group through the steps, and the group became the support team for the group. They got to know each other, and that was their community in DA. And let's see. The process worked, and they did get through the steps. I know some of those original members; they're still in the program, and some of them might even be on this call. Early on, I guess maybe around 2000, I went to a meeting in Ann Arbor, and afterwards, one of the members came up to me and said, she just said, you know, we're floundering. Is there anything you can do or say that would help? And so I offered to take them through the steps by proxy. And so it had a facilitator, and I would talk to the facilitator every week before the meeting, and I'd send the exercises for the step, and then the facilitator would take the group through that step, and then I'd talk to the facilitator afterwards and kind of do a debrief thing. And it worked really well. And then I did it for a group in Seattle and worked really well. And I know people from both of those, from Ann Arbor and Seattle, who were in those early phone groups and step processes that I was coaching from afar, and there's quite a few people in the program now who were in those initial groups. And when it got to the one in Seattle, the facilitator, his deal was he and I would do that, but then they had to go to other meetings around Washington, and they had to lead it. And they did that. And there was a time when Washington had the highest percentage of people who had done the steps in DA than any other state there was. So after several years of doing that, a few people from the early groups took over that process, and they added, you know, really brilliant insight into it, and they turned it into the process that's now called BDA Stepping Together. And at this point, it's 20 years old, and people all over the world have done it. And I don't know if there's actually any Stepping Together phone groups anymore, but I know that people are doing it in groups in person. And I hear about it all the time. Was one starting here, one starting there, and I haven't directly been involved in it a long time. After the DA 12-12-12 came out, my wife Suzanne L. and I, we took the book and wrote another step process just based on that book. And we've conducted that in like 12 to 14 week groups in a few states and in Canada and on phone groups. And so here's why this is important to me. Even though there's phone meetings, there are still new isolation. And I'm a nonstop traveler, and I'm very aware of especially west of the Mississippi, how few major communities there are. There are still states west of the Mississippi that have no DA meetings in them. So even if people want to go, they can't. So they may join a phone group, but they're beyond the phone group, their entire experience will be in isolation. And,
5 more minutes.
Thank you very much. So, and I that just has my heart because that's how we started, you know, just pretty much in isolation, trying to do it on our own. So, if you have a little time in the program, and if you've done the steps and you use the tools, and if you're solvent and kind and you like people, those rural people are waiting for you. And it's okay to take a breath and step up and step into the role of being a long-timer with some experience helping newcomers with what works. Without it, they have to keep reinventing the wheel. And, you know, we're debtors. We reinvent wheels that aren't round and go flat all the time. And so if someone steps up and can tell them what wheels actually roll, that's a good thing. And what I can tell you from experience is that there's still not enough sponsors to have a one-to-one relationship with every newcomer in DA. And it's okay to have to put people in groups. And if you're the long-timer, you know, get a few newcomers in a group that meets regularly, like on the phone, and pretend that you're at a restaurant after the meeting and you're just talking, and giving them a chance to ask questions and hear the long-timer's response and the other member's response. And so it becomes a community to them. And I think that's really important. You know, this is a disease of isolation, and recovery is community. You know, it's why all of the steps have the word we in it. They never have I, just we. You know, we admit. We turn our will and our lives over. Because that's what recovery is for a disease of isolation, is community. And if you do that, you help those people create community. And I can just tell you that from those initial groups, there are still people in those groups that I know, there are people in those groups that I know still talk to each other on a regular basis. And those early groups are their community still. So let's see. It could be done in a conference call or now in Zoom groups. I've got two conference call groups still going on, and I've got a new Zoom group, a video group, and that one's particularly interesting. And it's three people who didn't know each other, and but they do now, and we're going through the steps, and it's working quite well. And let's see. Sometimes if I notice that people are so used to being isolated that they almost are paralyzed, I would just take the role of saying, okay, you call this person each week and you call this person each week and just pair them up and begin that process of getting them out. When I had Jan S. was my sponsor, and before he died, I got to see him, Suzanne, I got to see him, and he said to us that the best kept secret in DA is service. And that's my experience too, that it's the most powerful thing there is in DA beyond the steps, and it's a secret. And I think great many people don't understand what a significant part of recovery service is. So, and here's the thing that I know. Everybody I know in DA who has everything they came here to get has been in service the entire time they've been in DA. So I'm going to say that again. Everyone I know who is in DA, who has everything they came here to get, has been in service the entire time they've been in DA. So if I just had to walk into a room and somehow magically pick out the people who are feeling the most successful, I would just ask, how many of you have been in service since you got here? And I promise you that's who the successful ones would be. So I surrender to the fact that that's true. And I've been doing it, and there's no reason to stop now. And in the interest of the furtherance of DA, and therefore the furtherance of all of our recoveries, I'd invite you that if you have any willingness at all to consider rounding up a group of newcomers, either in person or on the phone, and becoming their long-timer facilitator, I encourage you to do it, because it works, and it'll give you a wonderful recovery and them as well. And thank you.
Thank you so much, Sam. And Jill, you are next. Don't forget to star six.
Hi. Thank you so much. I would like to echo what Sam said, and thank you all so much for the FCC committee for putting this together. And just as a little point of information, we all send in issues and concerns to World Service Conference, and those issue sheets are divvied among the various World Service Conference committee. And I sent an issue and concern about having more sponsor a group, adopt a group, mentor a group, workshops, and disseminating more information about that. Because when I was a GSR, we were given a handout with it all written out, a very lovely handout of ways of adopting or mentoring or sponsoring a group. And I was the GSR at that time. I brought it back to my home group, which is in Dallas, Texas, and we followed the handout, and we had two sponsored groups. And that, I'm vague on the numbers here, folks. I think this is somewhere between 2004 and 2007. But we had meetings in Dallas, Texas, but very few meetings in the suburbs. And we went by some adopt-a-group literature, and those two meetings are still active today, those two that we did when we went by the literature. So I had asked if FCC would publish that stuff, because we did it and it worked. We were pretty excited about that. So my name is Jill, and what I like to share is an identifier is my name is Jill, and I'm grateful, and I'm compulsively fabulous, because if you got to be addicted to something, be addicted to something fun and cool like fabulousness. And the truth is, yes, I'm a debtor. I certainly belong in this room. I've only ever been in one community in DA. It's the Dallas, Texas community. I showed up at my first meeting Memorial Day Monday, 1989, after having spent all of Memorial Day weekend hitting the great Memorial Day sales, and I was just exhausted and practically crawling on all fours from Aroba shopping in Dallas, Texas. And I show up Memorial Day Monday night, and this is the 80s, and everyone had big hair and big shoulder pads and coordinated outfits. And there were 11 people who were looked all pulled together appearance-wise that were all Baroque. And as the shares went, I was like waiting to exhale. I was like, okay, I'm home. This is 11 people that sound just like me. And now what? And the deal was, in 1989, the meeting that I started, which was the only Dallas meeting, was only, I'm vague on the number here again, I believe it was only 8 months old. And it was definitely the blondes leaving the blondes. Nobody knew squat what to do. And Debtors Anonymous at that point was only 13 years old. It did not have a World Service office. It did not have any employees. It had a volunteer team that once a week went to a church basement in New York City, opened the backlog of mailbags, and I heard from a New York member that they had realized that they were between 8 and 10 months behind getting new meeting starter literature kits out. And so the meeting I joined had been founded Labor Day of 88, but the Memorial Day Monday meeting that I attended was the meeting, in fact, where the literature kit arrived. So that was how long it was taking DA to get it together. And what I've learned over my time in DA is that World Service, the hub that is World Service that tries to help suffering debtors to get rolling in the program, that all service really, really, really boils down to the two P's, publishing and people. It's the canon of literature that a fellowship puts together that's the consensus of experience, strength, and hope, that this is what worked best for us. And then it's the people that show up with that literature and help newer people implement that experience, strength, and hope. And so we didn't even get our publishing, like I said, till our meeting was several months old. We were, you know, kind of a floundering meeting. But then the first thing that happened as far as being on the receiving end of mentorship was that there was an Austin, Texas community that was 5 years older than us, and they found out about us, and they sent a packet of flyers. Again, this is 89. This is before very many people had personal computers or email. And so they sent us a packet of paper flyers and invited us to come. And they also said RSVP how many people might be coming. And I wasn't sure what that was about. But when we got there, I drove my ancient Chevrolet Caprice Classic station wagon with four other people, and there were five of us Dallasites. And they said, you know, who are the Dallas carpool? And we rose our hand. And they had five people, five men and five women, ready to give each of us from Dallas a PRG. That's a pressure relief group from an experienced DA member. And I have never laughed so hard in my life. I went through my numbers. I went through my data entry, which I hadn't even done. And every time I would flip the page in my little notebook where I'd been writing my numbers down, on Thursdays was when I would go bin shop the estate sale sales. And so Thursday always had these little number entries there from the estate sale doodads that I was shopping for. And my pressure relief lady, as she saw, you know, that's what I was doing on Thursdays, she just kind of under her breath sang, "I feel a binge coming on." And I just completely cracked up. And that first PRG was just so lovely and so loving and so just, you know, people that are like me and don't judge me. And she helped me put together a spending plan. And so five of us were sent back to Dallas with PRG experience from people who had been doing it. And so we didn't just have the publishing, we didn't just have the PRG pamphlet, we had some hands-on experience. And we also had some workshops, and then we had speakers, and then Austin people who were willing to give us Dallasites phone numbers. So five of that original 11 people that I was going to meeting with came back with some experience, some contact info, and some hands-on tools work to carry on back to Dallas. So that was the first piece of mentorship. The second piece was a workshop later that summer, actually, I believe it was Labor Day of 89. And y'all, because God looks out for fools and children, somebody in our group charged an airline ticket for the founder, John Henderson, to come to Dallas and give us a workshop. And he spent, I believe, about a 3 or 4 day weekend with us and just talked us through the existing pamphlets. I think at that time in 89, there were 7 of the 12 tools had pamphlets to them. And then that was to companion the AA Big Book. And so the second thing we had was someone with experience coming to us and giving a workshop that was recorded. So we had both interaction with an experienced person and then recordings to listen to, because I don't know about y'all, but I think at that point I was 4 months into my DA program, and there's no way when people were telling me stuff that I could have absorbed all the information. So that was the next thing, is I had recordings to listen to. And then the third experience with mentorship, and this was at the behest and direction of John Henderson, is he said to us in that workshop, if we're flailing and floundering, he said go to the, he had a broad Brooklyn accent, and he said, go to the AA meeting, because there's always AA, it's much more pervasive. And he said, find some big book thumpas and find some AA old fots that'll come and take you and show you how to go through the big book and work the steps. And he said, just go find AA people to help you if you couldn't find DA people. And so early on, our first step study was led by AA long-timers, and I went and did that, got them, brought them, and they were lovely again, and they showed us how to do it. So fast forward to the 80s through the 90s, and I was not one of those people that jumped right into service early on. I did do a few things. But in around my 16th year, because like I said, I joined in 89, and I think it was 2005, I agreed to be a GSR, and that was probably like the first heavy hitter piece of service I did. And I kept hearing in multiple committees that I served on. I served on LitCom, I served on Business DA, I served on Resource Development, that groups were asking, of course, for sponsors, loaners were asking for sponsorship, and existing groups were failing, and not exactly failing some of them, but flailing, because it was sort of a crapshoot where you joined as to whether there was emphasis on steps, whether there was emphasis on tools, or whether it was just a group that called itself Debtors Anonymous, but it was, in fact, just like a budget club or a networking group or, just some other weird amorphous thing. And there were just so many people that would send in the issue and concern of just, I don't know what to do. So in a BDA committee, actually, we formed a subcommittee to help people through the steps. And that is actually, I think, where I befriended Sam, the man that spoke right before me. And I was actually a participant in one of Sam's phone posse. So even though he was located in California at that time and I was located here in Dallas, we befriended each other there and did some some work together organizing some of these types of sponsor things. And I did take the sponsor, at that point it was called Adopt-A-Group, it now calls Sponsor-A-Group Handout home with me, like I said. And we did get two suburb face-to-face communities going out of Dallas. And I would like to point all of you to kind of a variation on that literature piece that we had. And where it can be found is on debtorsanonymous.org. Under meeting info, that's a menu choice, and then there's a drop menu, and if you drop down to resources for meetings and groups, the ninth item is called Sponsor a Group, and it is just a real super simple list of things that can be done and ways that an existing group can sponsor a new emerging group or sponsor a group, like we said, that's flailing, that's just trying to sort itself out and find its way. And so there's some very nice bullet points here that are all written out for us. And then what we did with our sponsor a group handout is we made it into a sign-up document, and we made the list of the different types of action items that an individual could do to help a new group get going. And then at the bottom of that document, we had a place for the person to write their name, phone number, and email address. And then each person in the existing group checked the items on the checklist that they would be willing to do for the new emerging group. And then we collected those sign-up pages and gave them to the point person that was the startup group, and that's how we helped them get going. And then the last piece I want to share about, and this is for loaners, this is for members, this is really for anybody that has a desire to stop debting. We have an existing ongoing workshop group on the phone and online. It's called Step Sponsor DA. And either online, on the phone, or via recordings, you can listen to workshops on how to use every tool pamphlet, how to take every step, a study of the traditions, and then also studies on conducting business meetings and other selected pieces of service literature. It is an ongoing workshop. We start with beginner's literature the first of every odd-numbered month. And so if you go to either online meetings or phone meetings and look for Step Sponsor DA, that is our attempt to be a hub where people can get instruction in just how to do DA, again, by those two P's, people and publishing. We just direct people how to find the literature and then do our best to connect them with people who can offer them mentorship. So thank you so very much for letting me be heard. And thank you again, FCC and Lexi, for putting this together. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Jill. Jeff, are you ready?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm Jeff, I'm a Grief Recovery member of DA. when I was asked to speak, I had this thought that I don't know how much I have to, honestly, how much I have to offer on the subject, but I'll do my best. And having heard the first two speakers, which was really great for me to hear. I felt that was some terrific stuff I just heard. So I'll kind of jump in and say what I have to say. I got into DA in New York City. I am from the Midwest, so I kind of hear about those wide open spaces, and I get it, having flown over the country amongst other things. But I did grow up in, you know, in a small town in the Midwest. Ended up in New York City, bottomed out pretty badly there, and a couple of addictions, and one of them was the one we're talking about here. I came in suicidal in another program, and I got into DA about a year after that program. So I've been in DA. I got into DA beginning of 1986. I became solvent then. I have remained solvent through all these years. Probably one of the most important things to reflect on what I've heard is this whole the whole thing about service. I just really want to, you know, put my two cents in for that also. It's just been a huge part of my recovery in all of my programs. I've been deeply committed to service in many, many places for a long, long time. So, you know, and this particular item, I'll get to it shortly, has been was an important thing for me to do also. DA is not my primary program, so it has not gotten the brunt of my service, but I've always done service in DA through all the years. Probably the most important thing I think about service along these lines is, maybe I'll just jump forward and I'll just talk about my interaction with this with the group sponsorship. I wish, amongst other things, I had known about all the information that I'd heard about earlier in this meeting before I became involved in group sponsorship. I probably would have done a much better job of my service would have been much more heightened had I had some of these ideas and thoughts in mind. As it was, back in 2016, we had a GSR rep who came to our meeting, and she didn't come to our meeting. She was part of our meeting, but she presented our meeting, which at that time she said was something new. Sounds like it really wasn't particularly new in some ways, and maybe it was, but it was she said if we signed up to do group sponsorship, we could just send our info in, and I forget where it was, you know, I had to email it into some place, which we did. We talked about it in the meeting. You said, yeah, we'd do it. And at the time I said I would be very willing to be the, to head it up. So we sent it up. We got a name back from a woman in Puerto Rico. And the woman in Puerto Rico, and this sort of important, this kind of the background, was that remember, this is in 2016 when we started this. She had said that back in 2004 to 2006 they had a meetings in Puerto Rico, but then they stopped. And then she said 7 months ago, that would be back in 2016, she said one of the original members wanted her to restart it, so the two of them started a meeting. So they had been meeting for about 7 months by the time they'd gotten to us. Plus, she had said that she had been mostly solvent for those 10 years, so it wasn't like she'd given up during those 10 years also. And I believe that, I'm not sure about phone meetings at that time, you know, in terms of the intervening 2006 to 2016, then 10 years, I don't really know. But in any case, we got into contact, and there was plenty of information out there from what I've heard, and I wish I'd had that information. But at the time, it appeared to us that there wasn't any information, and that was part of the thing that when we asked about it to this GSR, she kind of said, well, you know, we'll figure it out. And I said, all right. So given that they'd been in recovery for quite some time, I simply started with getting speakers for their meetings and setting it up through Skype, through phone calls. Through Skype, sometimes Skype phone. Thank you. Sometimes Skype phone calls, sometimes just regular phone calls. I mean, there was a small meeting, and over the course of the time, there was they would be asked, they would be asking, I'm trying to think, they would be asking for sponsorship and stuff like that. But I didn't get that closely tied to that, and I feel right now kind of unfortunate about that. By the way, one of the things I did before I got on this call was I had emailed Anna to find out what was going on there, but I have not received a response from her. Plus, I went out on the website, the DA website, and I was trying to see if there were meetings in Puerto Rico, and I did not find anything on the DA website. I might not have been looking in the right place, but I just went to the main find a meeting, and Puerto Rico wasn't, you know, in the state listings, and I figured that since it's a territory, I would have assumed it would have been there, but maybe it was in some international place or something. I'm not clear, but I did not find anything. So it's possible that is no longer in existence. There were a couple things about that now I look at it, and not only from what I hear is out there, I would do it much differently the next time, and get a little more lead a little bit more than follow, because I just said, what kind of support would you like? And we started talking about it, and he said, that sounds good if we got some speakers to the meeting. And in fact, we did get speakers to the meeting. We got them on a regular basis. We got them every week, so they had a speaker every week. And when we I did this for 6 months, and I handed it off to somebody else. At the end of that six-month period, right around the end of that six-month period, they had grown to such an extent that they decided they wanted more time for themselves, to actually do step work for themselves, so that we cut our speaker commitment back to once every twice a month, the first and third Wednesday or something. I forget the day it was. I think Wednesday, first and third Wednesday of the month, something like that. And then I handed this off to somebody. That person was on their way to New York, so I thought that would be, you know, I kind of let it go at that to go to New York, and then I lost track of it. If I were to do a different, if I had a second chance at this, one thing I would have kept following up with her to find out that everything was still in order and that they were still being supported properly, and see if there were other things. Two, at this particular point, if I had to do it over, I would definitely be looking out on the website for the things that was just mentioned by the previous speaker. And having heard both the other speakers, you know, there's a whole different layer here. I also, by the way, had this sense that BDA was a little ahead of the stream on this than regular DA. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but maybe not. And since we never heard anything more about this, we didn't follow up and try to find another group. It seems like if that were known, there might be more groups that would just simply volunteer right in and do this sort of thing if there was a central location and a central something. And maybe there is, and maybe I just don't know this. And maybe that's part of what could help here. But I know I'd be definitely would be up for doing this again if we got a group and we said, okay, let's sponsor a group. Now, going back to the whole service thing, by the way, how much time do I have? I can't hear you.
Just a moment. We'll check and let you know.
Uh-huh. Well, interrupt me when you find that time. I'll keep talking in the meantime. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. How much the time? We stopped at 4:14, so I think you've got probably, let's do for 4 more minutes.
Okay,
and I'll let
sounds
you
good.
Know in 3 minutes.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, so the one thing I want to say about our group sponsoring, something I did years and years ago when I was in New York City, I took a meeting out to a prison in another fellowship. I did that for about 8 years. At the end of that 8 years, it was a specialized fellowship in very special disease. But at the end of that 8 years, we never saw one of those members from the meeting actually get into our meeting or kind of get into recovery after they left that prison. But the one thing I carried away from that, the most important thing I carried away from that experience was that for 8 years I went out there. For 8 years we invited quote-unquote visitors because we were kind of regular signed up to get into that prison on a regular basis. For 8 years we would have two we call share days in the prison where people showed up. We get 15 to 20 people go into the prison for a full day with full meetings with these prisoners. And what came from that was a huge, huge benefit to myself for doing that service, a huge benefit for our group as a whole doing that service. It was a profound. And I would say to you that although I was kind of the lead in this, I was getting speakers from our meeting all the time. I was reporting in the business meetings every month about what we were doing, how we were doing, how well we were doing. And that service that our group was doing together had an effect on our group. This is an important place where our group together showed up to do service. And that was, no matter what, if this meeting is no longer in existence or not, that had a profound effect on us. So I just want to put that into the mix that, having the full group be part of this venture was, I think, a really important thing also to pull into these to what we're talking about here. Like the group organizes itself, our group, we had me, as kind of a putting it together, but could have been anybody else doing the same thing. But it was like our group was involved in doing this. So that's the service pitch. And, of course, all the people who showed up and got in a meeting were talking to somebody in Puerto Rico, that had an effect on them. That had an effect on them. That had an effect on helping them, get into that service mode, which is different than just showing up and doing a share at a meeting, lead share at a meeting. So anyway, I think that's all I have. Thank you for letting me be of service.
All right. Thanks so much, you guys. It is now a little bit ahead of schedule. We're right on schedule, actually. So this is the this is a question and answer session with the panelists. And at this point, the recording should be